So glad to see each of you here tonight. And there's some spaces out there, but on a Wednesday night, we don't usually have the choir loft all filled up here. And so they'll be joining you after a little bit. Most of you are aware that last week, our youth group went up to Fredericktown, Ohio, and we enjoyed a week of camp, and so many of the church family prayed for us. And we had planned this, that on the Wednesday evening after the week of camp, we would have the opportunity to sort of give a report about how things went and give some testimonies and have some special music. And it worked out that Pastor Minnick, of course, is away this week, as well as his wife. They're up at the FBFI conference in Indianapolis, along with Pastor and Mrs. Newton and Pastor and Mrs. Vincent actually were there for a good portion of the time. And our church is, of course, hosting this conference a year from right now. And so they're sort of getting their blow-by and education, and hopefully they'll come back ready to tell the rest of us what to do. And but they're absent tonight, and so we're having this opportunity to reflect on God's blessings on our week of camp. If you're visiting with us, we hope that you'll feel at home and that the ministry tonight will reach your heart as well as our church family. Let's begin with a word of prayer and seek the Lord's blessing. Our Heavenly Father, indeed, as we come into your presence, we're mindful that you truly have blessed us with all blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. We thank you that we who were at one time afar off, you have made us near, and it's been because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for the grace that you've manifested in our salvation and the grace you give us even daily to fulfill our responsibilities. We pray for each, Lord, of us who are here and some who are viewing on live stream as we've concluded a day of labors. We pray that you would strengthen us and lift our hearts up. We pray that some of the things spoken or ministered tonight would lift our hearts to be grateful to you and praise you for answering prayer. And we look forward to the remainder of this week as we go from this place energized to meet our responsibilities and do something for your kingdom's sake. We pray your rich blessing upon each part of the service tonight. And then later, as we gather around the throne of grace, we pray that we would be filled with your Spirit, that we might do truly spiritual work before your throne. And we offer these requests in the name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, several in our church left on Friday and Saturday to go to Ohio and prepare the way. They had the blessing, I think it was 18 on our early cruise, they had the blessing of being able to minister in two local churches even before a week of camp started. And I heard from those pastors, one of them actually is a good friend of mine and actually visited the camp. Chris Plow pastors a church. It's in Madison, Ohio. It's about 15 miles away from the camp, called Maranatha Bible Church, and Morrow Bible Church is very near the camp, and the founder of the Pinal Bible Camp actually attends this church, used to be the pastor, and you might remember some of you long-timers here, Stephen Howard. He came through our church here as he did a seminary training, and he's been pastoring that church now for a number of years, and they contacted me ahead of time and asked if we'd be having a crew come, and of course, last summer we were there, but it was during all that COVID lockdown, and we felt like we could only go to the camp and just sort of had to quarantine right at the camp, so we couldn't intersect those churches. And then the Lord opened up the door for us to repeat our camp this year, and they were chomping at the bit to get us. And so I asked Jason, who sort of masterminds our music for the week of camp, and said, list out for me what this group could do. You know, some of the things they have prepared or some things they've prepared here. We had a violinist with us. We had a couple of pianists with us. We had, of course, a lot of vocalists. And we listed out six special numbers, and they said, well, we'll just take them all. And so they took them all on Sunday morning, and then they did it again on Sunday night. And Brother David Washer, who's a rising sophomore at Bob Jones University, he actually preached the evening service, evening sermon at the Morrow Bible Church on Sunday night. So that was a blessing for them to have that ministry. But then the rest of us, we gathered in two buses and a couple vehicles to make the trek up there. It's about 10 hours of driving, maybe a little less. And we had a good trip up. I mean, it was one of the fastest trips. We got there in good order and good time. It wasn't the same on the trip home, but the trip up was really good. But no, on the trip back, we actually had a blessing from the Lord. Most of you are aware that we had some illness during the week of camp, and the Lord gave us help with that. Dr. Dahlhausen, of course, was there the whole week and an immense help to have his expertise. And some of this, we weren't sure how it was going to go. This is kind of a stomach intestinal issue, and sometimes it has minimal symptoms, and sometimes it does not have minimal symptoms. And so we had a kind of a virus quarantine cabin, and then there was sort of this other cabin that was sort of a staging cabin. So if somebody didn't feel good, you weren't sure if they should go in that cabin yet. And so we put them in the staging cabin for a little bit, and they did okay. We figured they didn't have it. Okay. But the ones in the quarantine cabin, nobody went near that cabin, so at least for about a day and a half. But it's a quick moving thing. But the Lord saw fit to let it kind of just jump around during camp. And then as we came home, we thought we were doing really well till about an hour from home. And then it showed up again. And then now that we've been home, it has showed up in some of our families. So keep washing your hands, everyone. And this thing is actually nationwide. I've read several articles about it. And we just happen to have the blessing of having it at our teen camp. But on our trip back, we are in a rental, a charter bus, as well as our church bus, and then a couple of trail vehicles with some luggage. And what happened was there was an accident on I-75 south, just around Jellicoe, Tennessee. And as we got close to it, you know how these map programs will warn you, everything goes red, you know, real fast. And we were driving along, we had an iPad, and Brother Kirk Mattia was driving the bus that I was in, and he said, "Whoa, all of a sudden our ETA just jumped 20 minutes, 30, 40, an hour." And it was just that fast. And it turned out we were coming up on a pretty fiery accident. I would assume someone was seriously injured. An 18-wheeler had just totally demolished and burned and blocked the whole interstate. And so traffic just backed up about 8 miles. Two of our vehicles actually got in it. But we got the word that there was a traffic accident coming, and we weren't supposed to stop at that point at a rest area, but there was one right there. I think it might be the Tennessee Welcome area. And so we were able to get the buses off. And so it was the Lord's blessing, because the vehicles that didn't make it off had to just sit there for over an hour. And of course, then we would have been wishing that we had stopped had we missed it. And so it was a real blessing. And then some of our vehicles navigated an alternative route. We got on it, got our buses down these side roads. It was two-lane road for a while, but we got back on the interstate. And the vehicles that were in the traffic jam actually met us and caught up with us as we went. So it still delayed us an hour, but we were an hour at a rest area instead of an hour sitting in traffic. And that was the Lord's blessing to us. Even though we had a delay. But we really appreciate all of the individuals, some of them are on the platform who worked at camp. Some of them aren't here. They had other obligations, or they're traveling with their families this week. But we had about 43 staff, all volunteers from our church, and just a great blessing. Some of these folks have ministered at 8, 9, 10 of our teen camps. Some of them are brand new, but most of them have been there for a long time. And so it's a great blessing to be able to just lean on them. And the brother and sister Foster do our food in the kitchen. It's an immense help to be able to have good food at camp. And then all of the other ancillary services, all the setting up and taking down, and some of these, I'd call them program men, the law officers, they met like 3 different evenings and helped pack up to get ready to go to camp. We don't take just a few things to camp, we take a lot. And they just gave so much. Emily Hines, one of our staff members, designed our t-shirt for us and did the screen for that. And I mentioned Jason already, my son Jason, who masterminds the music. I think there were 10 special numbers plus 3 instrumental numbers, plus there's pianists who rotate between the services as accompanying the congregationals, and just an immense amount of preparations that go into that and preparing for the times to rehearse and so forth. We just had a glorious time, but it was all because of these faithful workers. Thank you for praying for us. The Lord did do good things. We've learned that when we go to this camp, as opposed to, say, sometimes we go to the wilds, sometimes the things that we've learned aren't actually apparent right away. They actually sort of show up 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 weeks later. And some of that's because we end up taking our sermons that were preached there and post them on our church website under our teen camp page. And so it's, at some point in the near future, you'd be able to hear all the sermons that Kyle Wilcox preached to us. Kyle was a pastor up at Mountain View Bible Church up in Dublin, New Hampshire. He's right near where Dublin Christian School is. He actually attended that school. And then you might remember he and his wife, as they were a part of our ministry here. He went through our UIT ministry, and he's been up there, I think, almost 6 years now. And just a fine man, a fine preacher, not in any way pressure-filled, and it fit just very well with our camp atmosphere. And we really appreciate the ministry that, he gave to us. So I'll have a few things to say at the conclusion of the, schedule tonight. It's a little bit unusual in that we're going to have some special music on a Wednesday night. We've done that before. We'll have some testimonies on a Wednesday night. We've done that before. But we don't often do cheers in the auditorium on Wednesday nights, except when we do a teen camp report. And I doubt that you'll probably ever hear the William Tell Overture played in the auditorium at any other time than, when you're watching camp video. But you'll hear it a little bit tonight. So if you can kind of put up with a little bit of that and the silliness that goes along with camp, as well as the spiritual blessings, it's a neat ministry to have fun times and good memories and fellowship to be wedded with, real spiritual renewal and truths to be recovered and commitments to be made. And I know all of us look back on times when we've gone to camps when we were in our youth and remember them with fond memories, sometimes not so fond. Maybe you had a harrowing experience at the camp you went to, but that has never happened at our camp. It's always been a great opportunity. So tonight we're going to have seven individuals give testimonies. And so we're going to have two of them come in just a minute. They'll give you their name and their age, kind of introduce themselves before they give their testimony. And then after that, everyone on the platform up here will sing the theme song that we sang several times through the week. And then after that, we'll have a congregation. We'll let them come down. And then there'll be a couple more special numbers woven with some testimonies. And we'll conclude with about an 11-minute video. And that'll take us right up to about 8:05. All right. So, young people, if you'll come.
Hello, my name is Aaliyah Khan, and I am 17. When I heard that the theme of our week at camp was salt, my influence for Christ, I was very excited. I've been increasingly burdened about being a good influence and a leader ever since eighth grade, when it first dawned on me that I was 14 and practically grown up. But when Pastor Kyle told us what salt stood for, serving, adorning, leading, and training, I was not expecting to be most convicted by the idea of adorning. Nor was I expecting the most pointed application for me to be in the area of blamelessness. Pastor Kyle explained that adorning means making the doctrine of God attractive with our lives, and that we must be blameless in order not to confuse others looking in on our lives. As soon as Pastor Kyle mentioned blamelessness, describing it as a total freedom from any kind of reproach, I suddenly saw the small things I'd overlooked before in my own life, the small inconsistencies, the small surrenders to my flesh, and the small failures, the things that stained my testimony and damaged my conscience and spirit. There were no huge sins in my life, but my mind slipped back to Pastor Minnick's sermon from Genesis 17, and I knew that if I walked towards God's face, there were things in my life that I knew would not stand up to the intensity of his gaze or the glory of his face. I'm so grateful that the Lord challenged me in this particular area. It would have been so easy for me to overlook these seemingly small things, but God's voice continued to gently but very clearly remind and rebuke me throughout the week. Coming into my last week of camp at Peniel, I was both excited and apprehensive. Excited because I anticipated so much, and apprehensive that I might be disappointed. God has so graciously answered my prayers and yours as well. I don't know how better to express my sheer thankfulness and joy at his goodness than to say, as the psalmist does, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. And bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great."
Hi, my name is Ben Griffith. I'm 19 years old. I had the opportunity to go up to Peniel last week and was immensely blessed with the amount of influence it had on me. There were so many things that were helpful to me from camp, but Pastor Kyle's sermon on serving really stuck out to me. In the early part of the week, he showed us the letter S in his acrostic that he made for the theme of the week, salt, was the word serving. He went in depth to show us how to be dedicated to serving Christ and influence others to do the same. We are to serve with a humble and submissive spirit that is wholeheartedly ready and willing to do whatever the Lord has placed in our lives to do. Philippians 2:5 says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." So Christ Jesus is our ultimate example of how to be an influential servant. Think of how he willingly placed himself in a low position to have an opportunity to be an influence on his disciples in showing them how to be a servant in washing their feet. The very least we can do in return for his exponential loving kindness and graciousness that he has shown us is to give him our life that is submitted to service. We don't deserve him or anything from him, but because he has freely given us so much, we as children of God owe him our lives.
We will follow Christ's Lord. 367. Thank you so much, young people and staff, for ministering that to us. It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. Let's stand to sing number 367. We'll sing without the instruments. It was down at the feet of Jesus where I brought my guilt and sin. Seated.
I'm Abby Boyd and I'm 17. Thursday evening's message stuck with me the most. Pastor Kyle again and again emphasized the importance of holding on to the truths and faithful words found in the Bible. His illustration went something like this. We are in a river with the waters of the world pushing hard against us. We can easily be tossed and carried by this worldly current. We can be swept away by the lies and temptations that batter us and plague our minds. But we can resist this strong current by holding on to God's word and promises because they are from a God who is trustworthy and who cannot lie. Recently, I have not been holding on to some of God's promises like I should, and I have been swept along into doubts and all the crippling hindrances that come with it. My counselor, Anna Cornelius, shared her testimony with our cabin on Monday night, and she told us that she struggled with doubts. What helped her was clinging to Christ and what he has done, and not looking to self and what it has done. Holding on to what Christ has done for me can deliver me from these doubts so that I can encourage others and help them on their Christian way. When my grip is firm on the promises of God, I am in a place where I can have more influence for Christ because I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him.
Hello, my name is Micah Schaffner, and I am 16. This week at camp, I experienced many blessings, the first of which I got to be in the quarantine cabin. While it may seem like it wasn't the best circumstance, it was really a refreshing time in the midst of camp to just relax for a little bit and get to know a couple of the guys. Secondly, I got saved on Friday. So I grew up in a Christian home, so I've always heard the gospel. When I was younger, I would make many professions of faith, but they were mostly just because I knew what I was supposed to do. And every time someone would ask me, I would just make up a testimony, because I've heard enough coming to church here my whole life. I believed the Bible, but I never accepted it personally. I had gone through most of my life without really caring about my spiritual condition, and every time I felt the Lord convicting me, I would just put it off, thinking I would take care of it later. This year, I've been struggling with sin and just been getting deeper and deeper into that. And then one day I had lunch with Philip West, and he encouraged me to go home and talk to my dad about this thing. So that weekend, I did it. And spiritually, I seemed to be doing better. But I still really didn't care about about getting saved. This past week at camp, Pastor Kyle's theme was about being an influence for Christ. Almost every service, he made the point that we had to be saved in order to be an influence, but I still didn't feel a need to get saved. And on Friday, I was talking with my counselor, Ethan Hamilton, about assurance of salvation, and he told me to talk to my dad about it. That night, during the service, I felt what must have been the Holy Spirit working on my heart. I seemed to be more alert to what Pastor Kyle was saying. And the songs seemed to have greater meaning. Afterwards, Pastor Rush gave an invitation, and then I realized that I had to respond then, or it would never happen. I was sitting by Asher Vincent, so I asked him if we could talk, and I told him that I wasn't sure if I was saved, but that I wanted to do it for real. He said he didn't know what I needed him for and that I knew what to do. So I prayed, and after that we talked for a bit about God's promises regarding salvation, such as in Romans, God says, if we confess our sins, he is, confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Then he gave me his Bible and told me to go through the gospel and explain it. So I started in John 3:16 and went to Romans 3, starting with God's love and why he sent his son, and going on to how we are sinners and no one is righteous. And that just really cemented in my mind the process of salvation and why we need it. After we had gone through that, he asked me what I was going to do next, and I said, well, there's the campfire after this, so I guess I'll tell everyone. After the campfire, a couple guys came up to me and told me that they had been praying for me before the service, and it was really humbling because I thought I had fooled everyone with my fake testimonies. So all in all, camp this year was the best camp I've been to, despite some of the challenges, and with the Lord's help, I'm hoping to continue to grow.
Hi, my name is Joanna Smith, and I'm 18 years old. And first, I'd just like to thank each of you who prayed for us while we were at camp. It was just such a good and refreshing week, and I know that's because so many of you were praying, so thank you. Abby already mentioned this, but on Thursday night, we studied the L in the SALT acrostic, leadership. And Pastor Kyle worked through Titus 1, 7 through 9, and presented two principles, character and conviction. Christ-like character is all the responsibilities and attributes every believer should do or have. And conviction is a holding fast to the faithful word of God and letting it be your standard. This sermon served as a very timely encouragement to me. My time in the youth group is almost over, and as I move on, I will inevitably be confronted with the world more and more. To be honest, so many times I'm scared that I will not be faithful to the things I've learned my whole life. And that's where conviction comes in. This message made me want to invest time into cementing in my heart biblical principles and truths my parents have taught me and find out why I believe them. Right convictions produce right character, and I want my character to be built on the firmest foundation there is, the Word of God. Pastor Kyle used an illustration where the world is a powerful, roaring river, and God's Word is a strong branch overhanging the river. As the current of the world sweeps by, I need to hold fast God's trustworthy Word. I'm so thankful for the great encouragement and teacher this specific sermon was to me, and I pray that as I go on with life, I would live faithfully with Christ-like character and conviction.
Unchangeable God. Good evening. Good evening. My name is Timothy Furson, and I got to counsel at camp this week. And I want to start off by saying I know some of you were praying for our attitudes and our interactions with each other. Because Wednesday morning, I became the quarantine cabin counselor because I got sick. And what I saw, and I only mention that to say that the Lord gave the young men in that cabin an amazing amount of grace in the way they responded to each other. There was not a word of complaint. There was not a moment of annoyance with each other throughout that time. There was kindness, there was graciousness. And I believe that the Lord was really honored by the men in that cabin. And we saw the Lord's providence in putting the four of us in there together. But for me personally, beyond that blessing, was the truth of looking at a young man, Titus, to whom Paul is writing. The theme of the evening messages was on Titus, in the book of Titus. And as a young man preparing for ministry myself, to see what God intends to do in our lives. We know that we're to be in a place where God will use us, to be positioning ourselves to be used of God. But I don't know about for any of you, but for me, sometimes the question is, well, will God use me? And through the book of Titus, and as we worked on that theme of SALT life, and the others have spoken about the acronym SALT, and our memory verse for the week was from Matthew 5, that we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. And so the real encouragement for me that the Lord ministered to my heart was, yes, God wants to use each of us, me and you, as salt in this dark world, just as Titus was salt on the dark island of Crete. And he wants to use his light in this world, even as Titus was on the island of Crete. And our role is, as the others have already shared, is to walk humbly before him, making sure that our lives are blameless. So that was a challenge for me, even as an encouragement, that God does intend to use us in the ways that he sees fit to advance his kingdom.
Hello, my name is Abigail Ernest, and I am 15 years old. I would like to start off by thanking everyone who prayed for us while we were at camp. I would also like to thank Pastor and Mrs. Rush and all the camp counselors and staff for having to put up with us campers for a whole week. Thank you for all the effort you put into us. It has truly been a blessing. I learned countless lessons throughout the whole week of camp, but there was one thing that really stood out to me. Pastor Kyle Wilcox talked about how we, as privileged people, tend to just cruise over God's mercies and forget to consider and be content with the benefits he's given us. We have the privilege to be going to a good and godly church full of spiritually minded people. We have the privilege of having a solid education, of being given so many opportunities to use all of our God-given talents. And with this great privilege comes a greater responsibility. As Luke 12:48 says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they have entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." I learned that instead of sitting down and taking in all of these advantages or mercies, I need to stand up and give all of them for Christ, to be an influence and to be the salt of the earth. Some of you may know that Brandon Winningham and the Grabowski girls were able to join us at camp. They have recently moved away from our church, but they mentioned how their new circumstances have reminded them of the blessings they've received, having been a part of our youth group. I realized that it's easy for us to take for granted the blessings we have until the Lord moves us to a circumstance when some of those blessings are withdrawn. Last week, the Lord really impressed on my heart the importance of taking my great privilege and using it for his great kingdom.
To be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly
No, we really can't, in a few testimonies and an opportunity to hear a few special numbers, we really can't tell you everything that happened that week. But I hope they give you a little bit of a taste and really would turn your heart to praising the Lord. Because these things don't happen because of humans and doing a lot of work. There's a lot of work. But unless the Lord blesses our labors, you know, His favor has to be upon the labors of our hands. And then whatever good is going to be done is going to be from God. So would you continue to pray for these young people, especially some of them who maybe made a significant recovery of a truth or a decision? Certainly they've spilled upon their families some of the blessings, and I hope maybe some of you will be able to intersect them more in the weeks to come and learn more about what the Lord is doing in their life. We're going to break up for prayer in just a few moments. I don't have any announcements to make. One thing to ask for prayer about. I didn't think to put it in the prayer sheet tonight, but we have a couple of our outreach ministries coming upon us pretty quickly. Our teens have a three-evening Cola Wars, we call it. It happens at the end of this month, right up to July 1. And then 2 weeks later, our neighborhood Bible school ministry occurs. And we've already been doing a little bit of turning over the soil of some of the contacts that we've lost track of in the last year because of our being reduced to really not much outreach ministry through the COVID months. But we've begun to recontact people. And next Tuesday and Thursday, there'll be some opportunities for our young people to go out and try to invite young people in our neighborhood to come. So would you please pray that as we make these initial contacts for the opportunity to get teens from our neighborhood and friends of our youth group under the sound of the gospel, we'd appreciate your prayers as we prepare for that. And of course, let's indeed pray that our pastoral staff will return to us safely. They'll be here, I think, tomorrow. They'll be traveling, maybe on Friday, a couple of them. If you'll pray for them, I'm sure that'll be good. I wanted to read just a a brief couple verses to take our minds to what we're getting ready to do for prayer. This comes from Hebrews 14. You don't need to turn there, but I'll read these. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things just like we are, yet without sin. Therefore, since we have this high priest, therefore, let's approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help at the time of our need. If you think about the Old Testament, you remember right after the Ten Commandments, Exodus 24, it was only Moses who could go into God's presence. After that, it was those priests, and very limited into that most holy place, only the high priest, and only one day a year, and that was after he had offered sacrifice for his transgressions and the people's. But today, in our time, because of the work of Christ, we have this immediate access to God's presence. And so we tonight have the opportunity to appeal to the Lord and talk to him corporately and individually, and we do this, we can come near. We're not an outsider. We have an apparent open way, and it's because of Christ. And I hope tonight that as we pray together, that our hearts will be warmed by that encouragement and that assurance will actually fuel our prayers.